Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Does God have a God? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is a good friend of mine, Bradley Campbell. Bradley is with GodLovesMormons.com, and a big part of his ministry, he produces sometimes very short, sometimes longer videos dealing with historical and or doctrinal aspects of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Yesterday, we introduced one of the videos that he has put online that asks the question, does God have a God? Now, Bradley, welcome back to the show. I want to say most of the time it's you discussing a particular topic, but this is one where you went out on the streets and you were asking Latter-day Saints this question, but not just Latter-day Saints. You interspersed this video with responses from evangelical Christians.
That's right.
Why did you do it that way?
I really wanted to demonstrate that even though modern evangelical Christians do not have a modern prophet like the LDS Church does, we have a unity of core doctrine. We substantially agree on who God is, who Jesus is, what the gospel is. And I often interact with Latter-day Saints who say, well, part of the reason we can have confidence that the LDS Church is true is because we have a modern prophet. And as we know, Christians are so divided on everything, they can't agree on any topic. We need a modern prophet in our current age in order to give truth. So I thought it would be really interesting to show and demonstrate on really what I consider to be core topics. Latter-day Saints really don't agree with each other. They're all over the board. Some people say that God has a God. Other people say God doesn't have a God. Whereas every single evangelical Christian answered the exact same. Absolutely not. God is the only God that has ever or will ever existed. He is unchanging. He is eternal. And I really wanted to showcase that difference. We have unity because the Bible is clear on this topic.
Now, in yesterday's show, we were talking about some of the comments were made in response to what you posted. And of course, one of them was that you cherry-picked these people to make it look like they were saying, I guess, the wrong thing. I'm only assuming a person who would say something like that, since most of the people you were responding to were seemed to be pretty clear that they were open to that idea if they didn't already believe it. And I'm assuming that the person who was criticizing that fact must not believe that God has a God above him.
I have to assume that. They didn't say clearly. I got a number of these comments across different platforms. And in all those cases, they didn't explain what they thought should be the answer. But yeah, they did assume that I went through and manipulated the edit. I understand why they might think that. You want people to watch your video and they think I might be just doing things for the views or whatnot. That's really not my goal. I don't care about how many views we get per se. What I want to do is communicate what's true, what God has revealed. And if doing this helpfully communicates some bit of truth by contrast, then I think it's worth doing. I'm not just trying to be sensational. I'm trying to accurately represent what my experience is when interacting with a regular street-level Latter-day Saint.
Well, yesterday we began talking about some of the responses that you received, and we finished with this one from a gentleman who, when asked the question, does God have a God, he said, so there's no church-wide belief on this, but I do believe that. But then he went on to say, yes, if eternity really is eternity, then it would only make sense that, yes, he had a creator as well, like we have a creator. Now, I want to give this gentleman the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't had a lot of time to really think through his answer.
That's right.
He's kind of on the spot, and I understand that. So I want to be very fair here and give him the benefit of the doubt. He probably would have worded that, I would hope, a little differently had he had time to think it through, because it really doesn't make sense when you say, if eternity really is eternity, then it would only make sense that, yes, he had a creator as well, like we have a creator. And of course, coming from a biblical worldview, I would read that and go, why?
Yeah.
Why would that make sense? It doesn't seem to make sense to me or us as Christians. Why would that make sense to him?
The pinning everything on time. Because there's so much time, it only makes sense that God had a God, that our creator had a creator. It's kind of two different categories. You're either assuming one of two things, I think. Either that there is, because of progression, this period in time long ago when God wouldn't have been as powerful, he wouldn't have been as great, he would have been more like us, as Lorenzo Snow once said, as man now is, God once was. And because of that, if you continue to go back far enough, you have to imagine that God needed his own creator. He must have had someone to exalt him, to give him all the powers and abilities and, you know, the priesthood, if you will, that he now has. Or it's kind of this almost secularistic view of, well, more time equals more possibilities, more chances that these things can happen. And because there's been, you know, eternity is a really long time, then chance tells us that there had to have been a time when God had a God. I think one of those two is maybe what he had in mind, but he wasn't really clear when he said that.
It sounds kind of like the argument an evolutionist would give us. Hey, we don't need anything there. If you give us enough time with nothing, it will eventually become something.
That's exactly right.
And of course, we look at that as being totally absurd, but there's a great many people in the world today that do, in essence, believe something like that. But this next person, and this was a young lady who said, good question. She, right?
Yeah, she said, good question. On every question that I asked, she said, that's a great question.
She says, I think I don't know. That's what she said. There's a lot of what ifs. There's a lot of what ifs that we can do. We can exhaust our brains thinking about them and we'll never find the answer. We can read the scriptures and that they don't necessarily say it, but maybe the Spirit will reveal something to us. But I think that, again, it'd be awesome to have an answer, but I don't know how we're going to find that answer. Now, when I listened to this young lady say that, I couldn't help but think, well, wait a minute, there has been an answer given, and your prophets have given that answer. That's why this is such a controversy. I don't think this is an issue that was brought up on a lay level. This is an issue that's brought up by general authorities in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They've taught on this. So when she's saying that, I don't know if we're going to find that answer, my response, if I was talking to this young lady privately, would be, well, it seems like there's already been an answer given on this topic, and this is what makes it so controversial. If there has been an answer given by general authorities dealing with this subject, why is it someone like her doesn't seem to be aware of it?
Yeah, I have kind of compassion in my heart for her, because for something this significant, to have the experience of, I just don't know, and I don't know how I'll ever find out, that kind of breaks my heart. You would hope that there'd be some degree of confidence that she could have, some place that she could go for understanding. As a Christian, I say, well, this is very simple. We have the Bible. We have been given answers to these questions. We need only look to what God has revealed plainly. But for her as a Latter-day Saint even, you have modern prophets that supposedly have been given to guide the church in our modern age. Based off what Joseph Smith and other prophets revealed, this question of whether or not God has a God is a very logical question to ask. If God was not always a God, if he was once a man like us, then the idea that he has a God above himself is very, I think, a logical conclusion to make. And so this question is one that seems worthwhile for the LDS church leaders to have addressed, and indeed they have. For her, it makes me think about how modern young Latter-day Saints don't seem to regard the general authorities, they don't seem to regard the leadership of the church in the past as being very worthwhile to investigate or look into. I kind of get the sense when I talk with people on the street, a little bit of a the theological apathy. It's not really that significant. These are deep issues that I don't really need to investigate. And that seems to be this growing sense amongst younger Latter-day Saints. That they don't really care about theology. They don't really care about doctrine. Well, I wonder if that's just postmodernism that has invaded the younger generations of the LDS Church, or what exactly is producing that. But it does seem to be a trend that I've noticed, and I think it's on display right here in her answer a little bit.
Do you think it could also be that the emphasis coming down from church headquarters in Salt Lake City is stick to the living prophet? And that would be not only the first presidency, the president and his two counselors, but also the quorum of the 12 that come right underneath them. They don't necessarily speak on a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
It's not that they never speak on unique doctrines in general conference and things like that. If this hasn't been something that's been spoken of in their recent history, like this young lady's recent history, then she probably wouldn't know about it and wouldn't tend to want to look into what leaders have said in the past, which I've always been confused by that. Oh, we only go by the living prophet, as if God has different standards for other prophets that preceded them up until this time, especially on matters that you think would not change.
Right.
But when you talk to many Latter-day Saints, if they've never taken the time to really look into their own history, they're completely oblivious to this, which gives me the impression from this young lady that she's probably never read, for instance, the King Follett Discourse.
Right.
Even though the church in recent years has come out and basically allowed it to be said that that was one of the greatest sermons that Joseph Smith ever gave. And yet that's where we find this whole notion. In fact, I want to read it right now. Joseph Smith, and this can be found in the Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 373, he said, "If Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and John discovered that God, the Father of Jesus, had a father, you may suppose that he had a father also. Where was there ever a son without a father? And where was there ever a father without being a son? Whenever did a tree or anything spring into existence without a progenitor? And everything comes in this way. Paul says, that which is earthly is in the likeness of that which is heavenly. Hence, if Jesus had a father, can we not believe that he had a father also?" Now, some might say, well, he's only merely talking about a father. I thought you were asking the question, did he have a God above him? Well, this is what they believe regarding this father, that he was a God. We often use the illustration that Latter-day Saints have been told to believe, or they should believe, that their God was once a man who's the offspring of a God who was also once a man, who's the offspring of another God who was also once a man, going into eternity past. And according to Mormonism, you have to be a human before you can become a God. That's absolutely necessary. That's why it's important for Latter-day Saints to have been able to come to this earth to take on flesh and bones, because you cannot become a God without having a body. Now, that certainly raises a big question how the Holy Ghost became God, because according to Mormon theology, he never had a body, but yet he's part of the Godhead. Mormons don't talk about that. But still, it was Joseph Smith that introduces this idea in his King Follett Discourse. You would think if that's a fact, and that's what Joseph Smith believed and taught and expected his followers to believe, that most Latter-day Saints would be familiar with this, but it doesn't seem like they really are. We're going to continue this, Bradley, in tomorrow's show, because I think there's a lot of statements which tend to show that this has been something that has been emphasized by LDS leaders. We're talking about the video that God Loves Mormons has produced, asking the question, does God have a God?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.